Good evening, guys. Welcome to another episode of Doc Talk Live, a health show brought to you by Dallas Renal Group. Dallas Renal Group provides comprehensive kidney care, including transplant and home dialysis services. Information can be found on DallasRenalGroup.com or on the Dallas Renal Group Facebook page. It is also sponsored by Comfort Care, the hospice-related services throughout the entire DFW Metroplex. My name is Dr. Sylvie Simon, and I will be co-hosting today's show with Dr. Sheree. We have several great shows scheduled in the upcoming weeks. More details can be found on our website, doctalklive.com. Again, that's doctalklive.com. And while you're at it, please head on over to our new YouTube channel, Doc Talk Live, and like, comment, or subscribe to see more of us speaking on the topics you would love to hear about. Also, if you are a healthcare professional and would like to be on the show, please do send us a request through our website, Doc Talk Live, or through our Doc Talk Live Facebook page. So before we start, we have some announcements. Actually, Dallas Renal Group is excited to partner with the Texas Kidney Foundation to offer free tests and free resources about kidney health on Saturday, November 11th from 9 to 4. Please mark your calendars. That's Saturday, November 11th. We'll be at the Central YMCA Family Center in Arlington. These free screenings are available for all adults. Also, a message from Sankara Eye Foundation. They invite you to iTunes 2017. That's I as an E-Y-E, a fabulous Bollywood music concert featuring high octaves with finalists from Z Sarigamapa, the voice and some of the best musicians from across the country. That will also be on November 11th at 7:30 p.m. at the Eisman Center in Richardson. Tickets and information can be found on giftofvision.org. We hope to see you there.
Good evening, listeners. This is Dr. Sheree, your co-host today for Doc Talk Live. We have a great topic lined up for you all this evening. We've had several nice topics and talks on different types of cancers. And today we are going to be talking about thyroid cancer. Even though this is not a very common cancer, I think it's important for us to know about this disease, what to look for. And that's why we have the experts with us in the studio, Dr. Claude Denham and Dr. Robert Menel in the studio with us. To be part of the conversation, you can call us at 972-235-5555. Once again, the number is 972-235-5555. We'll be happy to take your questions live throughout the show. Dr. Denham and Dr. Menel, thank you so much for joining us this evening to spend your time with us. Would you please introduce yourself to our listeners? Dr. Denham first.
Yeah, I'm Dr. Claude Denham. I'm a medical oncologist in the group Texas Oncology. And I practice at the Baylor Sammons Cancer Center at Baylor University Medical Center, close to downtown. I see a wide variety of cancers. The bulk of my practice is probably lung cancer, thyroid cancer, and head and neck cancer as well. I'm very excited to be here and talk about this topic.
I'm Bob Menel. I'm one of Claude's partners. I also practice at Baylor University Medical Center. I've actually been there for a very long time, having come there in 1979. I also have done general oncology, but have a few areas of special interest, especially sarcomas, people with the unknown primary. I do see some of the head and neck cancers and thyroid cancers, and also see women with breast cancer and GI cancers. I'm also happy to be here.
Well, we are very happy to have you guys here on the show. So again, we are live at Doc Talk Live, and we are discussing thyroid cancer with the specialist today. So to begin our show, I'd like to just share some statistics about thyroid cancer. The American Cancer Society estimates about 57,000 new cases of thyroid cancer for 2017. The deaths from thyroid cancer average about 2,000 a year. So still very prevalent and an important cancer, I think, to be discussed. So with that being said, Dr. Denham, can you explain to us what is thyroid cancer? And first of all, what is your thyroid gland?
The thyroid gland is situated in the front bottom part of the neck. Its main role is in regulating metabolism by producing a hormone, thyroxin. There's actually a couple of other glands that are attached to it that have a minor role or a role in calcium metabolism called the parathyroids, but we won't be talking about that much today, mainly thyroid cancer.
All right. Dr. Menal, for you, what are the different types of thyroid cancer and who is at risk for cancer and are there any risk factors for thyroid cancer?
Sure. When I think of thyroid cancer, I think of basically four different types, although there's five that you look at. The most common is papillary, with following right behind it with follicular, and they make up about 90% of the cancer. So when you're talking about cancer of the thyroid, you're usually talking about those two different cell types. Medullary is much less common. It only makes up about 4%, but it's very important because it has a clear genetic inheritance in it, and this is a type that can be within families, and if one person has it, you need to be aware that other people in the family may have it. And then the last one that I think about is anaplastic, which behaves completely different than all the other thyroid cancers. I think we should emphasize that you can have thyroid cancer. It tends to be a very indolent disease, even if it's metastatic. Anaplastic is a very, very aggressive disease. And the last type is a Hürthle cell, which is a fairly unusual tumor and is probably follicular in origin. The people that are at risk of it, we don't see as much anymore, but way back when I was a kid, you used to radiate people for acne and also for big thymus glands, and that clearly raised the risk of it. Women have about a three times greater prevalence than men do in having it as well.
And what are the risk factors? Is there?
Well, I think the risk factor basically, like I say, would be radiation.
Radiation.
Which right now we don't really do that very much anymore. Some situations people feel that if you are low on iodine, that puts you at an increased risk. But, you know, now we supplement our foods with iodine, bread and things like that. So it's not much of a risk factor.
All right. We have a caller. Let's take the call. Hi. Welcome to Doc Talk Live. What's your question?
Hi, my name is Ravi. I have a hypothyroidism since last 2 years. I'm taking the medication levothyroxine.
Uh-huh.
So is there any way I need to take lifelong, or is there any way it can be taken care with any other precautions?
Yes, Dr. Denham.
Yeah, this is Dr. Denham. Hypothyroidism is, of course, a different type of disease where the thyroid gland is underactive and doesn't make enough thyroid hormone to regulate the metabolism appropriately. And so people do take supplemental thyroid hormone, a tablet once a day. And generally that's a lifelong thing. I mean, it'll need to be monitored by an internist or an endocrinologist. But for most people, if they're diagnosed with hypothyroidism, they'll take thyroid hormone for the rest of their life.
Now, I know a lot of people who are hypothyroid, and I know you guys are oncologists, and you probably, you know, you're specifically discussing thyroid cancer, but is there any link or reaction or, you know, relation to being hypothyroid and risk of thyroid cancer that we know of?
No, generally we don't think of that being associated with thyroid cancer.
Okay. Dr. Denham, how exactly is thyroid cancer diagnosed?
Well, that's very interesting because, you know, we're diagnosing many more cases now, somewhat because it may be becoming more common, but also because we're finding it through other x-rays. In other words, in the process of evaluating someone for some other illness, a lot of times we'll find a nodule in the thyroid, and that'll prompt additional testing and a biopsy. Because thyroid nodules are very, very common, and there's typically a way of assessing those by doing a sonogram, which is kind of like a special type of x-ray to evaluate the nodule. And if it looks like it's suspicious for a malignant nodule, then they'll do a biopsy. And if that confirms malignancy, then surgery. Sometimes the biopsies are inconclusive, so a surgeon would go in and take out just part of the thyroid to get a more accurate diagnosis.
So, some, like you said, it's picked up on imaging for maybe some other reasons, but will there be any symptoms that patients present with signs of thyroid cancer? Go ahead, Dr. Menal.
Yeah. actually, I think most people don't present with symptoms with this. And I think, as Claude said, and the way it's picked up, the way we see it most often is people that are getting especially like a PET scan or a CAT scan for some other reason, and you find the nodule. I think we need to emphasize that that doesn't mean you have a cancer. Actually, only 15% of those nodules will turn out to be a cancer when they're worked up the way that Claude has described.
Thank you. So, hello, guys. Just if you, those of you are tuning in today, we're live in the studio with Dr. Denham and Dr. Mennell. They're both oncologists. We are discussing thyroid cancer. For questions to our experts, please call the studio at 972-235-5555. Again, the number is 972-235-5555. Let's go ahead and take a live caller.
972-235-5555.
Sorry about that. Hi, welcome to Doc Talk. What's your question?
235-5555.
Hello? Welcome to Doc Talk. What's your question?
My question is, 7 years ago, all of a sudden, I developed thyroid nodules. And a little bit research, I did it with doctors, like after the hell of all kind of tests, iodine test and bone density, so we could not figure it out how this nodule started. And after biopsy done, it came benign, and I was not given any medication. Now, currently, this last 3 months, I started hypothyroidism and I'm on levothyroxine. And plus, I want to know from doctors, what is the connection between this hypothyroidism and osteoporosis and arthritis? Because my nodule started with the pain of arthritis pain, and I went of all of this kind of test and a blood test, and we came to know after 3 weeks like there are tumors I have. So I'm wondering, now I developed osteoporosis, lack of vitamin D, and everything started in this 3 months.
Okay,
so
thank
I'm
you.
On medication, three medications.
Well, let's see if our doctors can answer that.
So this is Dr. Mennell. I appreciate your question. I suspect that these are unrelated things that we're looking at. That you're describing three common problems that we can see. I think that there's not a relationship between thyroid cancer, obviously, in this, and the hypothyroidism may be completely unrelated to it. I mean, there are conditions where you can have autoimmune disease that can give that to you, but I think that would be very unlikely in your situation. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for your calls. Thank you, Dr. Denham and Dr. Mennell, for being here. So again, we are about to go into break.
Good evening, listeners. Welcome back to Doc Talk Live, brought to you by Comfort Care, who provide hospice-related services in the DFW Metroplex. Our second sponsor is Dallas Renal Group, in which me and Dr. Simon belong to. Dallas Renal Group provides comprehensive kidney care, including transplant, home dialysis services. Information can be found on our website, dallasrenalgroup.com, or on our Facebook page, Dallas Renal Group. Today in the studio, we are talking about thyroid cancers. We have the experts, Dr. Denham and Dr. Mennell, here with us. So you can call in with your questions, and the number to the studio is 972-235-5555. Once again, it's 972-235-5555. We have a caller. Let's take a call. Hi, Doc Talk Live. What's your question?
Hi, good evening. Thank you for taking my call. In 2014, I was diagnosed with stage 2 follicular thyroid cancer. So I have two questions regarding that. The first one is, I'm on levothyroxine. I know that I don't have any option but to take the medicine. What are the long-term side effects of taking that medicine? And the second question is, last week, my son was diagnosed with Hashimoto thyroiditis. So under any circumstance, the overacting thyroid gland in Hashimoto, can it convert into a cancerous lesion?
All right. Dr. Denham?
Sure. So after a person has their thyroid removed, they will have to take thyroid hormone to maintain their proper metabolism, and pretty much lifelong, and there are tests that need to be done to monitor that. But the other thing, particularly in people who have a more advanced stage of thyroid cancer, the thyroid hormone actually is beneficial because it keeps another hormone called TSH, or thyroid stimulating hormone, low. You actually want that blood test to show a low number because that decreases the risk of the thyroid cancer coming back. So it is important to stay on thyroid hormone with a history of thyroid cancer, especially if it's a more advanced stage of thyroid cancer. With respect to the Hashimoto's, now Hashimoto's is an inflammation of the thyroid cancer, of the thyroid gland. It's not cancer. There are times where thyroid cancer can develop after Hashimoto's, but it's not an extraordinarily high risk of that.
Thank you, Doctor. Let's take another call. Doc Talk Live, what's your question? Hello?
Yes, my question is, since some of the cancer, they don't have no symptoms or they don't show any symptoms, how do we prevent that? Like, do we do like a body scan and find out if we have any cancer when we do the health checkup?
That's a good question.
I know for breast cancer we have mammogram, but how about for any other cancer?
All right.
What can we do to prevent that, and what kind of test or treatment can we do that?
All right. That's a good question. Let me ask Dr. Menel.
Yes. Thanks for the question. It is a good question. It's a tough question.
Yes.
I don't think that there's anything particular that you should be doing as far as scans. For one reason is that any of the scans are going to employ radiation, which is actually a risk for developing thyroid cancer. For the second, thyroid is a relatively unusual or rare cancer. So it means that you would be testing a lot of people and probably putting them at risk for a higher incidence of that. I think the major thing is when you have your routine physical exam, your physician will examine your neck feeling for nodules like that. It might be difficult for you feeling for nodules because sometimes they're pretty difficult to feel with. And if you, like I say, the most likely reason that you're going to find it is if you get a scan for some other reason and you happen to see a nodule. But again, the likelihood that that's going to be a cancer is really low. It's only 15%.
Thank you, Dr. Menel. Dr. Denham, when we were on the break, there was a gentleman who asked, he has hyperthyroidism and he's on medications. Mm-hmm. He's worried, is he at increased risk for cancer?
No. Hyperthyroidism, which is an overactive thyroid gland and too high of a thyroid hormone level, does not increase one's risk or indicate that one has a higher risk of developing cancer. In fact, if someone has a nodule, one of the first things we do is we measure their thyroid hormone level and their TSH. And if they are hyperthyroid, that almost always means it's a benign nodule and not malignant. So that actually is commonly done when someone initially presents with a thyroid nodule.
Thank you, Dr. Denham. Let's take another call. Doc Talk Live, what's your question?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I have a question. What are the symptoms of thyroid cancer?
Symptoms of thyroid cancer? Dr. Denham?
In some people who have symptoms, you could have hoarseness if it was deep and getting into the vocal cords, or some of the nerves that go to the vocal cords, it could cause hoarseness. For some people, an enlarged mass in the neck, especially if it grows rapidly, would be of concern, I think, to anyone, and that's something that should be brought to the attention of their physician. So I would say those are probably the most common symptoms that alert someone to a problem with the thyroid gland, but again, for many people, it's just a nodule that's found on an annual physical exam, or perhaps the patient just feels a little small nodule in the thyroid.
Thank you, Dr. Denham. Let's take another call. Doc Talk Live, what's your question? Hello?
Hi, I'm being... Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, my question is that I'm actually taking hypothyroid medication for, say, about 10 years or so. I just wanted to understand that even though I'm taking 125 mg, I'm still in the morning when I'm waking up. I'm still finding that I'm tired and some more sleeps are there needed. So why is this happening? I'm going to regular doctor and checking up, but somehow the other way it is not actually working out. Is there anything which I need to do or ask to my doctor to do?
Thank you, sir. Let me ask Dr. Denham.
Sure. So if you're hypothyroid and you're taking a dose of thyroid hormone replacement, and fortunately we have very good blood tests that will tell you if that's the right dose for you, because it can vary a lot from person to person, and that would be measuring a thyroid hormone level. And there are a couple of different tests for that. And then also the other test called thyroid stimulating hormone, which in a way is kind of like your body telling your thyroid gland that you need more thyroid hormone. So if it's normal, then that means your body is getting enough thyroid hormone. Now, there are a lot of things that cause fatigue and tiredness and just a numeral number of many, many things that can cause that. So, but the thyroid hormone level can be dosed, fairly precisely by blood tests that all doctors, internists, and endocrinologists do.
Thank you, Dr. Denham. Let's take another call. Doc Light, what's your question?
Hi, I want to know what are the symptoms for skin cancer. I have quite a few skin tags that is occurring on my body very often. They are in different sizes, so I want to know if there is something that I should be concerned about.
Okay, you can send in the questions to our website. Today we are talking about thyroid cancer. Thank you. Dr. Menal, can you tell us what are the treatment options available for thyroid cancer?
Sure. I think it really depends on the stage of the cancer. But basically, I think what we have to emphasize is that the outcome from thyroid cancer is very good. And the primary treatment for a thyroid cancer is removal of the cancer, removal of the thyroid gland that you're looking at. Also, as Dr. Denham has talked earlier, the other thing that we want to do is have you on thyroid hormone and reduce the thyroid stimulating hormone, because that hormone can also stimulate the progression of thyroid cancer. Now, in people that are very high risk of developing a recurrence of the cancer, for example, a very large nodule or positive lymph nodes or disease outside of the thyroid gland, we oftentimes will treat them with radioactive iodine, because the iodine is taken up by the thyroid tissue and by thyroid cancer cells. So this is a way of delivering radioactive therapy directly to them. Chemotherapy by itself is usually not employed in most of the types of thyroid cancer that we see. So it's usually surgery with reinstitution of your normal thyroid hormone and depression of the thyroid stimulating hormone, and possibly radioactive iodine if you're at high risk for recurrence.
All right, Dr. Mendel, one more question. Will treatment options reduce a woman's ability to have children? And if so, how?
So it's interesting. Thyroid cancer by itself will not reduce the woman's ability to have children. And I think the data on the use of I-131, which is what you're really referring to here, there are some studies, they're relatively small, to show that a woman who has had I-131 has a slightly decreased risk of conceiving a child or bringing a child to full term if they have it.
Thank you so much, Dr. Menal. Again, guys, this is Doc Talk Live. We are discussing thyroid cancer. We're live in studio with Dr. Denham and Dr. Menal. The number to the studio is 972-235-5555. The number is 972-235-5555. We appreciate your questions. Dr. Denham, we talked about thyroid levels, but can you have thyroid cancer and have normal thyroid levels?
Sure. Oh, yeah, that's not unusual at all. So there's not a blood test that can make the diagnosis. So if someone has a nodule and has a suspicious appearing nodule on a sonogram, then yeah, their blood tests, they can be checked to see if the TSH is high or low, but it's not going to factor into your need to do a biopsy.
All right, we have a caller. Let's take the call. Doc Talk Live. What's your question?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I have a hypothyroidism since 7 years. And recently, from 2 years, I've been having a lot of problems with my plantar fasciitis. So some of my friends suggested whoever people has thyroid problem is prone to get plantar fasciitis. Is that true?
Dr. Denham?
Yeah, this is Dr. Denham. I'm not aware of any connection between plantar fasciitis and hypo or hyperthyroidism. So, no.
Thank you, Dr. Denham. Let's take another call. Doc Talk Live, what's your question?
Hello?
Hi, what's your question?
Hi. I have a question. This is regarding my husband. He has a Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
He has a hyperthyroid, and he's taking his medication on daily basis. But at times, like, his weight is kind of stable, but then at times, like, he loses a lot of weight. So what can be the reason behind that?
Okay, Dr. Minnell?
Thanks for the question. That's also a difficult question to answer, and I think it's related to the fact that so many things can be involved in weight loss that you have. So I think that hopefully he is getting his thyroid levels checked and make sure that he is not running a very high thyroid level, which could give him weight loss. But I suspect his physician is checking that for him. But there's many other things that can go into it. And I think this is something to discuss with your physician to look for things like malabsorption or other causes for that.
Thank you, Dr. Minnell. Let's take another call. Hey, Doc Talk Live, what's your question?
Yes, I have a question. So I have a nodule, and I had it biopsied the first year. Is it necessary to get it biopsied every year?
Dr. Denham?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Normally, if you have a biopsy that's benign, many times, depending on the suspicion for something serious, they'll do follow-up sonograms, usually every 6 months to a year for a number of years to make sure it hasn't changed. If it has enlarged, then possibly another biopsy would be required. But unless there's been some change by the sono, normally it's not necessary to repeat the biopsy if you have a benign result.
Thank you, doctors. So, guys, we are approaching the end of our show. Remember to log on to our website, doctalklive.com. That's doctalklive.com to obtain more information about next week's experts. And please don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to our new YouTube channel, Doc Talk Live. Dr. Denham, Dr. Menel, any last information you would like to share with our audience about thyroid cancer and also how they can come find you?
Well, I think the major thing to impress people with is that thyroid cancer is a relatively indolent disease and a highly curable disease. Most of this is handled by endocrinologists, usually. So this would be something you would see your doctor for.
And you can find more information on TexasOncology.com.